Good evening and welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of your favorite radio show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Larry Conley Radio Show. And as usual, and per the court system, I am still not Larry Conley, though I've got some litigation going to get my name changed. Anyway, you don't need to know all my business. What you need to know is that tonight we have a very exciting guest, and we are thrilled to talk to him about firefighter success. I was almost rhyming and rapping there. That was my first career. But anyway, on to our fearless leader. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him, you love him. Some of you are even owing him some money. It's Captain Larry Conley.
Thank you.
Woo! That's my baby daddy. That's my baby daddy.
In that case, I owe somebody some money.
Right. You know, this is about leadership.
Yeah, right. Good morning. Thanks, Mom. Keep us on track.
You yes.
Good evening, one and all. And this is another edition of the Larry Conley Radio Show. And I am Larry Conley. And, I've been known by a couple other names, but this is a family show, so I'll keep it clear.
There you go. There you go. And most of that was to pay your way through college.
Exactly. You know, so I don't know, something about the word chocolate and thunder still.
In the boom boom room, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. In the Rex and effect, you know. But anyway, so glad to be back on. I think last time we had to have an encore performance, and I had some scheduling, but I'm glad to be back live and doing this thing. And we'll see in another 7 weeks in January where we have another exciting guest to start out the new year. But usually this time of the year is pretty special as well, because it's around the holiday season. I'm kind of picky about who kind of ends the year with us. So I was glad to pick the gentleman that we have tonight and let him kind of wrap up the year, because he's been really putting in work for a little while now, has a great body of work that I'm proud of. And also he's a local guy here in the St. Louis area. And we usually are talking to national people, and that's cool. I mean, national people are great, but it's really good when we have that St. Louis Connect that's doing big things on the national scale. And that's what David and I, we're always humbled to be in that position, but it's always good to talk to the homeboys or homegirls and really check in with each other, because we don't want to forget where we came from, you know. And sometimes they have to remind you, like, yeah, you now you're on the big stage, don't forget where you came from. And like, yeah. Some places I came from, I want to go back to, please believe. Right, exactly. You know, so some places are not that good in that regard, but glad to be able to have a conversation tonight with our guests, and we'll talk to him in a minute. But going forward, just make sure that during this holiday, I like the holidays, because it looks like that's the one time of the year, as crazy as this world is at times, it looks like this is the one time of the year that there is some remnants of peace. You know, people are a little nicer to each other. You know, the holiday, I had a driveway moment yesterday, because Michael Jackson and Jackson 5 were singing Frosty the Snowman, and kind of brought back memories when I was a kid listening to it, and Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. And of course, my favorite is Eartha Kitt with Santa Baby. She knows how to do that perfect, you know, how to roll the tongue and all that. I've been trying to learn how to roll the tongue, but it never worked for me. In some regards, I'm glad I never learned.
Yeah. That's not because it's down on the child support.
Keep talking. I got in trouble in the first place.
But all these,
things missing, the only thing missing is the snow. But I'm a tropical brother, so I'm not too upset about this 69 and 70 degree weather we have during this time, because I know the snow is coming, winter is coming, and so I'm enjoying these days as much as I can, because every day is a nice day. That's a shortened winter weather day for Uncle Larry, so I'm enjoying that. But I did I do enjoy this time of the year because of the peace that we mm-hmm. seem to still mm-hmm. have some of. And at the end of the day, you know, we've been going through some crazy times, and leadership these days is needed more than seemingly ever before. Now, I don't know if it's always been this way, or is it that we just get information so fast that it seems like it's, you know, really, really goofier than it was when I was growing up.
It's goofier.
Goofier, you think so? Okay, well, mom should know, because mom's been around a minute, so she should know. But I'm always and my point is that, with that being said, when David and I travel around and teach, we always feel like it's not just us sharing the information we have, but it always feels like we're doing kind of a ministry, so to speak. We're spreading mm-hmm. Hope, and we're spreading ways to cope, hope. Let's get ready to go with a third round. One thing I come up with was dope. And really dope. No. Okay. All right. I'll be all along. But cope and hope. Right. But seriously, cool. we feel like it's a ministry of sorts, you know, to give people something to hold on to, because these days it's just not a lot of it doesn't feel like there's a lot of common sense going on. You either got this way of thinking, that way of thinking, everybody else is dumb, stupid, and need to be fought, and nobody knows how to synergize these strengths and make sure that we all are as okay as we can be. So we feel like it's a ministry. So when I talk to other people who teach leadership, as our guests tonight, and write books about it and all that good stuff, it's always a good meeting of the minds. And I tell people, somebody asked me a long time ago, you know, with all these different, you know, leadership opinions and leadership classes and stuff, do you feel, you know, somewhat intimidated by dealing with? I said, no, there are people going to hear Dave and our voice, and it's going to resonate with them because of the way we deliver. There's people going to hear other people's voice, and you're going to hear the way they deliver. You hear the Rick Laskys and the Frank Viscusos and you know, these people. We're just glad to be on the same stage, but definitely we can hold our own, because our voice needs to be heard. It's just like their voice needs to be heard. So, and it's nothing new under the sun. You're just hearing our voice. We didn't pull these leadership principles out of space somewhere and brought them to earth, and they're the most revolutionary thing you ever heard. We just put our voice on it. And when you got two brothers from North St. Louis, some people need to hear that voice, you know. And if you grew up in Ladue like Jim did, no.
South St. Louis,
baby, you know. But seriously, but you know, so we both city when it comes to that, you know, because city is city, no matter if you know north or south, you just different versions, but ain't nothing like say a city, you know. So that's how we get down in the Midwest right here. But we now more than ever, whether it needs to be Christmas time all the time in this crazy world. And if our leadership messages can help bring that all home for our firefighting family and our personal families and any other industry that will have us, then we're happy to share that ministry. Mm-hmm. And so having said that, my brother in crime, as far as his leadership message, is Captain Jim Moss out of Metro West, and fire protection, the fire department, the
fire protection district.
That means they make more money than we do. So, I think they got elevators and ships out there now. They got waterfalls.
So, and that's on the apparatus.
Yeah.
Come on out anytime.
We ain't even got, we ain't talked about the firehouse just yet. You know, you guys look a little winded after coming out to that fire. Let me hook you up a protein shake right
quick. Right.
We just got an escalator installed.
Yeah, so anyway, it's just it's crazy compared to what we deal with at Hamilton Heights, you know. So you come to 13s, you're not gonna find matching chairs nowhere in the firehouse. They don't match. You gonna find
just gives a character.
It's character like a mug.
The brand name on y'all chairs is Lawn.
Right.
The occupants.
Yeah, room, exactly.
So you're
unique. Yeah, we got characters who work and character in the firehouse, but so pick your poison. But anyway, Jim Moss is I've been knowing him for he used to work for the city years ago, and decided to improve himself and move out to the county. Jim. But always a very studious guy, guy who's always a thinker, the kind of guy that, clinically dissects things, take them apart, and then, how to surgically, strategically put them back together and all that kind of stuff. So it was no surprise to me when, lately in these past few years that he's had this amount of success with his vision on fitness, his vision on leadership. And so he's part of two books right now. And one day I'm gonna write a book. I'm just intimidated by the process. But somebody told me, like, being in school, kind of wrapping school up now, that I've written so many research papers, you got a book right now, just pull from there. So anyway, I'm gonna be looking at that pretty soon, Tales from the tropical brother from the north side.
I love it. I can't wait.
That's it. Right.
I can.
Right. So it's gonna be a real book. David's gonna make it into a movie when I'm done. So
it's called Keeping It Hot.
Right.
You're hot, so, you're hot. You're
right.
Hot, you're
not. Right. So but we local boy does good as far as Nim is concerned. He has a book that's been getting a lot of traction. I was lucky enough to have a contribution to the book as far as endorsement. I think it's in the book, right, Jim?
Listen. It is. Right. It is.
There's a joke there.
But anyway, yeah, there's an inside joke.
Right.
It's online.
It was inside the book, but no.
It's online. You're online.
Yeah, it's online. But anyway, seriously, online. You saw me? Okay.
It looked like Jim. Chris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, he has some great people endorsing the book. It has some great introductions and foreword by Mark Van Oppen and Jason Hoverman. And these are two, pillars of the fire service as well. The fire service is really what I see, Jim, and you can kind of co-sign if you agree, is that, a lot of the people in the past 30 or so years, maybe more, or they've contributed and made some major contributions to the direction of the fire service in a good way, but they're not getting any younger. And so now, the kind of succession planning have to be with who's bringing up the rear and who's taking into the next level, so to speak. And so I would say on that list with a lot of people I could mention, and it's only an hour show, so I don't want to bore you with that, but Jim Moss to me would be one of those people on that list that is, it's going to be a giant, but he's a giant in the making now and will be gracing the stages and changing some paradigms as we go forward. I think even his book, and we'll talk about that in a minute, is already like on the list of like necessary reads for promotions and things of that sort. That's huge when you think about it. It's huge that his book will be referenced as like what did Jim say? Help get you promoted. And you just didn't write a book. You wrote something that's going to be principle. It's going to be one of those books. You know, like when you look at Lloyd Lehman's book, like that book is old as hell, but it's still relevant.
It's still relevant.
It's principally based.
Timeless principles are timeless principles.
Exactly. Yes. And that's why when David and I talk about what we do, you know, our whole thing is based on principles. It'll never go out of style. And all we do is adjust the details to match the climate. But mm-hmm. still, you know, the people say, well, we want you to talk about this particular thing, and we'll tailor fit our program to that audience. But we still talk about the same principle. We just mm-hmm. talk about the way that's digestible mm-hmm. for your audience. But so we know how important principles are, and we seem to have written a principle book and base your leadership vision on principles. And that's why I think we connect as well as we do. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, and I just learned how to spell ado.
Lord, help me, Jesus. I did the best I could.
The author of Firefighter Success, the 20 C's to Firefighter Excellence, ladies and gentlemen, Captain Jim Moss.
Yay. Well, thank you very much, Captain Conley. I appreciate it. And I'm grateful that I get to pay back the favor now. You were on my podcast, Firefighter Success Podcast, and you knocked it out of the park. So I'm just glad to be with y'all tonight. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking glad forward to our conversation.
Yep. Mm-hmm. No problem. Now, Jim, I have to say this. It blows my brain up because it's the 20 C's to firefighter excellence. And I would have been spent just coming up with 20 C's. I've been done. They're like, you know, here's 20 C's and it's been a blank book, fill in the blanks. You know?
Yeah. I actually narrowed it down. It was more than that, but I had to go. Oh my goodness.
This guy's so smart. I'll tell you, 20 C's, you know, that was a catchy concept and makes people say, well, 20 C's, let's see what this is all about. So why don't you kind of go through the book and give us a summary and some of the points you takeaways you want us to get from this book. And we'll talk about this and then we'll go to the next book and then kind of go with some other things I want to ask you about.
Anyway, so what I loved what you said in the introduction is that there's nothing new under the sun, right? So leadership principles are timeless, and core principles, core values, they're all timeless, right? And it's how we adopt them, it's how we apply them, it's how we share them with those around us. That's what really makes a difference when it comes to leadership. And the book in its genesis, I spent probably a year writing it, and I spent another probably 6 months, 9 months putting it all together because I self-published it. And so, you know, between the design and all that stuff, it took another 9 months to do that and get that out there. But when it all comes down to it, you know, I first say, where did this book come from? It came from, like you said, the giants that came before us. It came from my mentors that came before me and poured into me and giving me lessons, not only about the fire service, which, yes, that's very important, but also about life and how to live life. Because we know that we have to, if we're going to be a leader, we have to lead outside of the fire service. And we also need to lead inside the fire service when we're there too, whether we have a formal leadership position or we have an informal leadership position as the backstep firefighter, as the medic, or as the driver, what have you. So we need to lead wherever we are and wherever we are. So the book, it came from my mentors and what they've passed on to me. It came from a lot of what I say my mistakes and lessons learned. It came from the mistakes that others have made and I've learned from. And so I just wanted to create a resource that would be of value to any firefighter of any rank, any time or years in the service. I wanted to provide a resource that's going to help them be the best that they could possibly be and lead at their level and to achieve and expand their potential as much as possible. And I say in the book and the introduction, I say, hey, I'm the farthest thing from perfect, right? So by me sharing these principles, by me sharing what I'm passionate about in this book, that does not mean I am a perfect example of everything in this book. I am a work in progress and I am just trying to do the best I can. But I kind of framed it to where I wanted to create a resource that if my children, my own children, or someone close to me was thinking about getting in the fire service, if you read this book, you adopt the principles and you live them out on a daily basis, you will achieve excellence. You will achieve success within the fire service. And when it all boils down to it, the book is all about leading yourself, personal leadership, and making sure that you're doing the best that you can with what you've been given. So that when it's all boiled down to it, that's what the book is all about, is making sure that you're living out a life worth living and you're contributing, you're adding value to others around you as well. Because, you know, we all have a certain definition of success. And that's one of the, my first questions on the Firefighter Success Podcast. I like to ask my guests, what's your definition of success? And I love the different responses that you get, right? And when I when I talk about it in my book, you know, so many times success is defined in this world or culturally as money, as accolades, as your achievements, right? Or we can talk about within the fire service. Sometimes it's defined in the fire service as your rank or your time in the job or the number of fires you've been to or how many rescues you have, you know, go on and on and on, right? Some, it might be what you know, or your skills or strategies and tactics, but I wanted to go beyond that because I don't really think that is how we define success. And how I personally define success and how I share it in the book is that it's how you use what you have to impact others in a positive way. It's all about the legacy you leave for others and how you contribute to others, and being a positive team member, being a positive leader. That's how I define success, instead of your rank or your accolades or your years in the service. So it's kind of interesting to hear people's definition. And I kind of like to, you know, we could talk about that a little bit, is what's your guys' definition of success? But this isn't my show, so I'll let you handle that, Larry.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Can I say something?
Sure.
I've just had written down while you were doing your introduction, how does he define firefighter success? And then there you go. So are you like a mind reader too or something? I'm just,
I do what I can. Hustle? I hope I didn't steal your thunder.
No, you can't steal my thunder, but I just thought it was so interesting that you went down that road. I didn't know where you were going, but I was putting it down as a question to ask you. When you say firefighter success, what is your definition? And then you went on down the road with the whole thing of the definition. I just thought that was cool, you know.
No, thank you.
So anyway, and
you're absolutely right. You know, success. And one of the things we try to teach when we're teaching is that, you know, you have to check in and be clear about what success does mean to you, and that helps you make decisive decisions about things, about your career, about your family, whatever, because everything that sounds good may be good, but it may not be good for you. But you'll never know that if you are not clear about what your definition of success is. So once you identify that through your, you know, and Dave and I call this a personal constitution. Once you write that personal constitution and you use that as your guide, you may have to make adjustments and make amendments and add and subtract, but you definitely will have direction to be where you need to be and have these strategic, being that strategic increases your chances of success and helps you weather some of the storms that you'll go through, like we all go through, you know.
Oh, I love that. I love that you just said personal constitution, because chapter 7 in the Firefighter Success book is called Conviction. That's one of the C's. And basically, it's that personal constitution. You need to know what you're all about, right? You need to know your core values. You need to know what you stand for, or else someone's going to define that for you, right? Sure. So what are your goals? You know, what do you want to achieve? And while we're on the topic of, you know, personal leadership, whether it's in the firehouse or at home, you need to be intentional with your life. You can't just let life happen to you. You need to go out and be intentional about your marriage. You need to be intentional about being a parent and guiding your children. Or if you're in the firehouse, you need to be intentional about leading others around you. You can't just let life happen to you, right? We're in a fire service to where we have to be proactive. We have to get ahead of the game instead of being reactive, right? We need to know where the fire is going so we can stop it before it gets there, right? Instead of just letting me like, oh, well, I guess I should have pulled that hand line about 10 minutes ago. The fire is getting ahead of me. So just different ways to have your personal constitution, right? Know what you're all about to make sure that you're leading yourself and hopefully you're leading others as well.
Yeah. One question I do have, though, in terms of the title, Firefighter Success, it sort of does imply that there's something, a few of those C's may be peculiar to being a firefighter, though, that success under the firefighter umbrella may have some differences than just being a successful, writer or successful some other profession.
Like we said before, there's universal principles in here that apply to leadership, to where you're being a firefighter, and also just outside of the fire service, leading yourself throughout life. But I tried to blend both of them, and it's kind of funny you asked that, because some people are like, yeah, this is great for firefighters, but it's just great for life in general, right? And leading myself in general. So I try and blend that within both. But since I'm a firefighter, I gave or lended my voice to and my perspective to how within the fire service, each of these C's can apply to ourselves within the fire service. So for example, in chapter 2, I talk about being curious. So if you're at the fire station, always asking why, or if you're in training, asking the why and knowing the why behind something we're being trained on. For something like being committed, I go through an entire chapter of how we can be more dedicated, how we can be more passionate, how we can have greater buy-in and be all in for the job. Chapter 6, I talk about being courageous, and that's not only physical courage, which, you know, physical courage is what we typically think about with firefighters when we watch Larry on Chicago Fire, you know, in the starring role and all the courage he has, right? We typically think of physical courage, which is important for firefighters, but I also talk about emotional courage within that section. As well, and making sure that, the trauma that we face and we see with all the nasty things that we don't like seeing in the fire service, how to successfully cope with that, having a good mental and emotional health with that as well. Just looking on at the different chapters, communication. If we're talking about leadership, communication within the fire service, gosh, if you talk to any firefighter, which is probably if you say, what's your biggest complaint about your fire department? It's like lack of communication. And that's applicable to leadership outside of the fire service as well, is that we need more communication. I am the kind of guy and leader with my crew and other people on my shift and throughout my department. I would rather over-communicate. And I would rather people say, oh, another text message, another email from this guy, maybe that might be seen as a little micromanaging, but I would rather that I would err on the side of over-communicating something that's coming up about the next shift or training or something that needs to get done than someone say, oh, I never got that, or I never read that, or I didn't see that. You know, I would rather over-communicate when it comes to those things. Compassion is another C that I think is really important within the fire service, making sure we have not only sympathy, but we have empathy. For all of the people we come in contact with. And that's one of the great things about the fire service, is like someone is having their worst day, right? And they call us to fix their problem, right? So I am honest within the book that I'm not always the most compassionate person. And that comes from somewhat of my upbringing, somewhat of my just personality. And I'm honest that's one of my weaknesses that I'm always learning about, especially at home with my own kids. I'm always trying to have more patience when sometimes I am lacking patience with my young children. But having compassion on those we were out to be helping, whether they are, a homeless person who, we might see as, someone who is just taking from society, or it could be the richest person in St. Louis, right? He has a great name and is popular and all these things. We need to treat everybody with compassion and with empathy. It comes back to that golden principle. And we say this within the fire service, treat that person the way you would want another firefighter, another medic, or whoever, how you would want them to treat your family when they're in need, whether their problem is big or whether their problem is small. We need to treat that person how we would want others treating our family if we weren't there.
Good.
What was it about, or is it just something you sort of discovered? I mean, because as I'm listening to all of these C's are great, but, being a writer, it could have been, the 20 D's or, whatever. So what was it about the C's that, that you found as a thing that resonated with you, number one? And yeah, the B clause of that is there a 20 first C that is Conley?
The bonus C.
I want to know what was so and why was the letter C so compelling?
You're serious, are you?
Because crazy.
Yes, we are. So let's have that conversation.
Well done. Had met Chris Conley, even though I'm known as Uncle Larry. His ingenious mother.
I love that. Well, David, back to your original question, where did these C's, or why did I choose C's? I mean, if you just look at it, there's just so many good C's. And the way this book actually started is I was writing, about seven years ago for firefightertoolbox.com, just online blogs and stuff. And so even back then, I was just passionate about personal leadership, about paying it forward. And I had written an article that was called 10 C's to Firefighter Success. And it was just an article. And it was just a draft. I never put it out there. But I just kind of held on to it. And it just, I did the firefighter functional fitness thing with Dan Kerrigan. We put that book out. And then it was just always on the back burner in my Google Drive folder, right? It was just there as a little draft, right? But I went back and looked at it after, Firefighter Functional Fitness had been out for 4 years or whatever, maybe 3 years. And I was like, I'm passionate about fitness and I want to help firefighters improve their health and wellness 100%. And I'm glad I did that with Firefighter Functional Fitness. But I'm like I said before, I want to create something that is a resource that will help any firefighter just get the most out of their career and leave a positive, lasting legacy and impact. And so it was a passion project. And so why did I choose C's all from the beginning? Because there are so many good ones out there. Just going through the line, I won't read all 20, but and I'll make sure, in the second edition, I will include Conley as the bonus.
Thank you.
And you'll get
otherwise, there'll be a breach of their other C contract.
Yes. But I mean, I start the book with being coachable because I think that's the most important thing. If you talk to I have this quote in chapter one. I don't know who you believe is the greatest basketball player of all time, but I believe it's Michael Jordan. And if you see his championships that he has, the MVPs, the 32,000 points scored, and what he says is his greatest attribute, more than his skills, more than his championships and his points scored, his greatest attribute, he said, was that he was coachable, right? And so What does that mean? It means being humble. It means starting with that foundation of humility to say, I always want to learn. I need to be a lifelong learner, especially in the fire service, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's always evolving. It's always changing. With humility and being coachable, you're also saying that I'm not always right, which is so important to leadership, right? And making sure you can admit to your mistakes, because we all know those people, those firefighters who, it doesn't matter if they made a mistake right in front of you and it's like staring them in the face, they will never admit they're wrong, right? Never. And so we all know that, as we've heard before, ego is the enemy. So if we're holding on to ego, we're holding on to that, that vanity and that pride, it's only going to be to our demise. But along with coachable, you know, I started the book with coachable and I ended it with being the coach. So being that coach, that mentor to others, that if you adopted everything in the Firefighter Success book or whatever some other mentor or coach has passed on to you, be that coach, you know, to the next generation of firefighters. Like Larry said earlier, you know, we're standing on the shoulder of giants with Chief Lasky, you know, Chief Frank Viscuso, and those who came before them, right? You know, they're standing on the shoulders of those who came before them. And so when it all comes down to it, you know, being that coach, paying it forward, helping others, that's what it's really all about. It's not about, hey, look at me and what I've achieved and accomplished. It's about, hey, I want to help you achieve what you can accomplish. What are you passionate about? I want to help you do that. So I hope that answers your question, David.
It does. It does. Mm-hmm.
I have another question.
Yes.
In reading through the some of the information in the book, about the book, you had the areas too that you try to help the firefighters and, you know, with their functioning and to become successful. And if I'm not mistaken, one was about rest and recovery.
No, well, that's with firefighter functional fitness.
That's fine. Yeah. Okay. Well,
but hey, you can wrote talk both about books, rest right? and recovery. Uh-huh. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. With you know, we are all on this call, this interview, mm-hmm. we're all hard chargers, right? Mm-hmm. We're all blazing, you know, that path. Mm-hmm. But that's a good point. With, you know, even if we're not talking about fitness and wellness, is yes, we need to be all in. But we also need to know when to take that break. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my wife is a saint and she puts up with me and she helps me do all these things I'm passionate about. And she supports me in all these things. But she's also honest with me and saying, hey, you know, maybe you need to take a breather. Maybe you need to take a break. And then there's times when I'm like, OK, like I just said, for this December, I'm not teaching. I'm not going anywhere. December, I'm off, you know, and I'm going to make sure, like Larry said, it's a great time of year with the holidays, with Christmas. I need to just be at home with my family instead of out teaching, instead of, you know, being away from home. So, yes, we do need to take that breather. We need to have that rest and recovery, as you alluded to make sure we can recharge. So, hey, guys, that's your next book right there. Just start with R's: recovery, rest, recharge.
I already got that.
Good.
But one more thing, though, right quick, because I've always been curious about, like, even in between runs, you know, it just seems like, did you have any kind of ideas about how to kind of decompress in between runs? I know some of them can be back to back. But and then some of them can be very traumatic, and then you still got to get up in another hour or two or three to go to another one, you know. So
did
you have any thoughts or ideas under that umbrella of rest and recovery that's why you're at the firehouse?
Making sure that you don't overwork yourself. So like if you're on truck 13 in Hamilton Heights, right, you get to run a little bit more than the rest of especially Metro West units and fire apparatus. You need to focus on getting that rest when you can. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe, you know, we're all hard chargers, but I truly believe in getting in those naps when you can, because as we've all heard in the past of if you want to be a hero at night, sometimes you need to charge up and nap during the day a little bit. So I do believe, and scientifically, it's proven that it's okay to take a nap. Now, don't take a 3-hour nap in the middle of the day. You'll definitely be up all night then. Mm-hmm. But having those 15 to 20 minute recharge naps when you can, those are important. But like you said, your original question, maintaining an overall good level of fitness is important to going on those calls, you know, back to back to back. Those are really important, especially if it's back-to-back fires, right? Having that fitness to where, you know, you have that blend of strength, you have that blend of cardiovascular capacity, right? That endurance that you really need. And as we all have heard before, you know, the fire service and life in general, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint, right? So we can't go all the time, you know, 100%. We need to make sure, like I said before, we need to make sure that we can pull back, take that breather and get that resting, get that recovery in, but just make sure it doesn't become, you know, 3, 4, 5 hours long. Make sure you're still staying active, but you're blending where you're being active. And also you need that, that rest and recovery as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's all about the ugly word that I talk about all the time, balance, and nobody likes to balance. You don't you want one thing to do it all, or one thing to fix it, or you know, one thing to end it, one thing to start it, whatever. You just have to work that balance and incorporate. And the better you get with incorporating balance, then you know it if it's part, if you make it part of it, it doesn't have to be a thing you quote unquote have to do. Like, you know, this is, I mean, yes, you have to be intentional about rest time and work time and all that, but if it's part of your overall balance in the way you do things, then it just, you know, you just know it's time to rest, it's time to work, it's time to whatever. And then there are times when, especially in our job, where you have to be unbalanced to find that balance, because you might have, like the other day, we had 17 runs, you know, you know, happens, but it's an unbalanced day in the life of Truck 13. But if we don't take that time to recover, then you won't be ready for the next one, because it's unpredictable. We do not come to work as firefighters and say, okay, roll call. All right, today, guys and gals, we're going to have about 12 runs, 4 of them are going to be fires, and we're going to have to get Miss McGillicuddy up from the floor, and we're going to have to get a cat out of the tree, and that'd be nice if we could do that. We sit there, and I'm weird, because it continues to be the thing that intrigues me the most about being a firefighter. I don't know what's going to happen today,
right?
But I'm going to solve it. Whatever it is, and so I'm just scared about the point. Hope I'll retire before the thing that actually stumps me to the point that I just can't, you know, think past it. You know, but I like the mystery of not knowing what it's going to be, but knowing that when we get called, our team and our department can handle it, because you just don't know. I mean, the other night we unfortunately had the tragedy with the tornado hit in Edwardsville at the Amazon place. Who knew? They sitting around with a normal day and had to go do some rescues and recovery over, you know, where the tornado hit Amazon and knocked it down and had some tragic results from it. But who knew that? But the issue had to be solved. They couldn't show up and say, well, we don't know what to do.
You've never seen this before.
Exactly. They just had to handle it and access all their training. So, but the balance, if you are truly rested, you are sharp enough to, you know, handle whatever, you know, the shift may throw at you. So it's a unique thing. When I was looking in your book, one thing I like that you did, and I don't see this in a lot of books. I'm sure there are some, but a lot of books don't, you cannot be unsuccessful reading and getting anything from the book, because what Jim has done is made it, and I'm not sure, I better not say that because it's a family show, but you know, but I mean, you cannot, you got all of what kind of person, uneducated or unperson mm-hmm. that you mm-hmm. gotta be, mm-hmm. that you mm-hmm. cannot succeed reading mm-hmm. this book, because mm-hmm. from the get-go, it says how to use this book. Mm-hmm. You know, like you a lot that you read mm-hmm. the book, you're like, I don't know how to use it. I mean, it's a lot of great information, but I don't know what to do, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Ain't mm-hmm. a, but you cannot
firefighters fail. Love instructions.
Yeah, you cannot fail. I mean, it says mm-hmm. I mean, I like where it's, you know, you have to work your way through the book. It's just not reading. And mm-hmm. and it's odd, Jim. Jim is psychic once again, because this is how I read books, especially self-help books. I just read it all the way through, just raw from the get-go. I just mm-hmm. read it. I don't try to take notes of like that. And then when I go back, and that's when the you know, the highlights and the dog ears and mm. And you know, the
yeah,
the booger might be on one page.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay.
You know, okay. Oh. You know, I'm just saying. But my point is, it's well used the second time. You know.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and so. You know, it said at the end of each chapter, you will find action steps, which mm-hmm. will give you a practical mm-hmm. way to implement mm-hmm. firefighter success principles. Mm-hmm. You got to do that, mm-hmm. you know, and if you want the maximum out of the book. Another thing I highlight is I recommend that you initially read Firefighter Success straight through without mm-hmm. pausing. I thought mm-hmm. that too. I have to pause because I take blood pressure medication out of the people. but anyway, but to meditate on the details, then go back through each chapter more methodically, mm-hmm. highlight, make notes, take photos of quotes and mm-hmm. passages that impact you, mm-hmm. share them with your friends and on social media, etc. That was an excellent way to promote the book there, Jim. I just thought.
Hey, I do what I can. I see what I can.
But anyway, but more importantly, apply the principles and action steps to your daily life and career.
Yeah.
And, so I can see why it's going to be, and it's already in the making, that go-to book for people who not only just want to read it for personal success, but read it for advancement and things of that sort. So,
that well, I appreciate
very,
that.
Very good way to make sure that it's the tool. It's almost like, and you know, and I don't know if you do this, Jim. You're more clinical than I am, but you know, sometimes as guys, what we do, we look at something and we say, I just put a ceiling fan in not too long ago. And just looking at it, like, duh, well, I need to read all these directions. And then there were a few pieces that were like, yeah, okay, I better read the directions.
Yeah.
Read the directions, or not asking for directions if you're on the road. Oh, it's got to be the next exit. I'm not asking anybody. I could do this. Mm-hmm. But so we do that. We don't get the maximum use out of stuff. You know, I might, if I put this fan up and I got four or five pieces and a few screws loose, I better not sit under this fan, because
you're gonna know about it.
It might be kind of dangerous, you know. Mm-hmm. So I might not make the cut. But when you do, you maximize the best of whatever tool you're using. Mm-hmm. And this book is a tool, and I just highly recommend that if you're reading this book. A lot of times, people will breeze past the introduction. They'll breeze past from the author. You know, they'll just get right to the meat of it. But I'm highly recommending that you read this book. Read what I said about the book, and then read from the author. No,
that's right. That's right. No,
but definitely read from the author, because it gives you the direction to maximize what you need to know from this book. And I appreciate that part.
Well, I appreciate it. And that's actually something I share. And when I, you know, go on podcasts, especially when I teach in person, I said, we're going to talk about stuff today. And it's leadership principles to better yourself and better others. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to discuss and talk about it. And you know what? It's all just theory if we only talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why I had those action steps, both in firefighter mm-hmm. success and firefighter functional fitness, mm-hmm. we have those action steps so we can take action, because if we don't take action, then it's all just theory and it's in one ear and out the other. We have to apply what we learn. Just like if we go to church on Sunday and we listen to a great sermon, it's just words. It's just a sermon, right? Unless we apply it, right? So we have to be able to, you know, whether it's Firefighter Success or one of the great articles that, you know, you guys write and put out there. If, you know, if we just listen to it, if we only read it and we don't apply it, then it means nothing. So we have to take action in whatever our own way that means. You know, that's why I included all those action steps at the end of each chapter. So I'm glad you brought that up. Thanks.
Yeah, that was genius. And that's why, and then David and I, when we do glue, one of the things I told David when we was first developing it, I said, what the fire service don't need is another 8-hour lecture, you know, a bunch of just a lecture on theory and all that kind of stuff. I said,
right.
If it's not a hot class where we're physically blowing up stuff and setting people on fire, it's not going to be interesting. It's not going to hold the
that's right.
hold the attention of firefighters, because that's just how we're wired.
That's how we are.
And but so when we do glue, we do in the morning, it has to be clinical so you understand the information. So we have to follow the teaching methodologies of what that has to be. But all the whole afternoon is breakout, practical. You go up against David, you know, you get your feelings hurt, man, whatever, you know, this whole thing. And my point is that, you know, that ties into what you just said. You know, now we're having actionable steps to apply what you've learned or what you should have learned, because some people still want to revert back to what they were doing before the class. And we're like, yeah, we're gonna eat that alive. They might want to apply what we taught in the glue class, and then that way you have a muscle memory of when you go and apply it in real life. Is and that's why we don't always end the class with a everyone
a bowl. Gets a
trophy and there's a nice clean bowl. Hey, thanks for participating. You know, sometimes people leave with like, I hate you guys, but you know what? It was good stuff. But you, I tell you, you know, I don't know how to feel about you. I don't know if I should meet you in the parking lot or whatever. I'm like,
yeah,
we probably want to do that because we.
It's good to challenge people. It's good to change their mindset.
Yeah, change the paradigm.
And you're gonna learn either way. You know what I mean? You're gonna learn the principle, or you're gonna learn that you should apply it. Do you know what I mean? That you should have applied it, you know, one way or the other. You
gotta, let me say, excuse me.
No, go ahead, Dylan.
No, I was just going to say too, with that formula or format, everybody doesn't have the same way that they learn.
Mm-hmm.
You have different people learning things different ways. Some people can just read it theory wise and they got it. Mm-hmm. Some people need it represented and broken down bit by bit. So if you address all of that, then you don't leave anybody out. You know what I'm saying? So even though there are those who may not need it to be that specific, some people do need it that specific, but it doesn't harm either one, whatever your learning skill is. So I think it's really cool that seemed to address, no matter how you learn, what resonates with you most, you're going to get some of that out of the book.
Yep. And that's one of the things with firefighters and the way I wrote the book and really broke it up. I did a lot of segments, a lot of sections, and a lot of, you know, step-by-step lists, because I don't know about you, but that's kind of how I like it. Instead of like a normal book to where it's paragraph after paragraph and after paragraph of text, you know, which I can read those books and I do. But my brain and most firefighters' brains are centered around short, to the point, no fluff sections, right? To where they can read it, it's broken up, and it's not part of one big long monologue of text, right? So that was very intentional in how I designed the book in that way.
No, that was very good, because like I said, I've taught long enough to know when you walk in, especially if it's class they have to go to, what do I need to know?
Yeah, get straight to the point. Yeah, I don't want any of that fluff.
And then let's go put some hands on it and make it happy. You know, and that's how they do. So it's a strange monster, but it is, and it makes us good at what we do in a lot of ways. You know.
Yep.
I want to kind of move on because I want to respect your time. One thing I did want to bring up to close that segment out is where you brought up about, and I say it all the time, you said it earlier, I didn't want to chime in because you was kind of flowing, is that the things that you do, that you said in the book, they came from the best research and the best part of what you're striving to be, but they're not you. And they're not you in this completeness, so to speak. But, and I laugh at that because, you know, when you teach like we do, it looks like sometimes there are people just waiting in the wings for you to say, let's see how you're going to handle this. And let's say, oh, wait a minute. You feel a little short based on what you, you know, was teaching or whatever like that. And I don't know anybody. And I've been in the kind of behind the scenes of some of these giants that we've talked about before, and know in some regard, you know, everybody doesn't always live there. So I used to feel some type of pressure with that when we first got started, like, oh, I gotta be perfect all the time. And I'm glad I don't have to be. I'm glad somebody else identifies the same thing. You know, we always try to be the best. And I kind of attribute it to years ago, and I still do it today. My kids will ask, you know, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And it may not be something that I'm really strong on, but to me, it was stupid. Because people say, well, you know, you got to be careful what you tell the kids because you didn't do it, or you didn't do it at that age, or you didn't do it. And I'm like, but what sense does it make to tell them less than the best?
Yep.
Even if I'm not necessarily doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, if a parent is a smoker, there might be an addiction that you've been fighting for years that sometimes you win, sometimes you don't, when the kids know you smoke. But do you tell your kids, hey, go grab a pack of cigarettes, let me show you how to smoke, because I ain't perfect, so y'all need to teach you. No, you're going to teach your kids, do not smoke. Daddy or mommy is wrestling with this, and don't be like I am. I know I say, you know, follow by example, but don't smoke. So my point is that when we teach in glue, like, this is the best that we can deliver as far as leadership, but it's not nothing that is something we continue to strive for. And I know that you have brought that up before, like this book, you know, you're like, well, this is Jim Moss through and through. I mean, I've never seen him deviate from any of these principles.
That's right. No, that's what I said. You know, a lot of this book is from my mistakes, and I'm not perfect. And there was only one man that was perfect, and that wasn't me. So that's what you know, that's one of the things I'm glad you brought up is, like, yes, I am passionate about all these things, and these are things that I've learned and I want to pass on to others, but I am not the perfect example of it. And so by putting this book out there, you do make yourself a target. You do open yourself up to criticism, up to people scrutinizing everything that you do, but that's okay. You know, I've got tough skin, and guess what? I'm going to make mistakes, just like I have in the past. I'm going to make mistakes in the future, but when it all comes down to it, I'm going to admit to them and move forward. And hopefully I can teach others from the mistakes that I'm making. Right. And so it's just like anything else. It's just like parenting, right? We like you said, we try to teach our kids the best that we can teach them, right? We try and lead them the best that we can do that. But guess what? We'll probably make that mistake tomorrow, right? Of you know, being quick to anger or saying something that we shouldn't have said. And it all comes back to leadership. You know, we're all works in progress, right? Sure. And leadership is a journey. It's a practice, just like medicine's a practice. Right. You know, it's all a practice, and we're all learning. And instead of, like you were saying earlier in the introduction, you know, we need more hope. We need more encouragement in this world. And so I'm in 100% agreement with you that, it's hard to get it out there. It's hard to teach it and live up to it, but we're just going to do the best we can, right?
And that's the
part. What's also sometimes interesting.
Mistakes can be not intentional, but still, if you really are someone who's trying to get better in life or be a better person, they can be some of your best lessons.
Yep.
Learn from that mistake. You know, you hate you made it, but the main thing, did you learn anything from it?
Exactly.
The other interesting thing, though, is most of the time when people are trying to hold you to task on your sermons or your words, it's because they're not busy enough trying to
improve themselves, right?
They absolutely. I mean, usually that's the people, because a lot of times the people who are actually living those principles are the ones who would be encouraging you in your weaker moments, as opposed to pointing the finger. Those people who are pointing the finger are usually doing that, you know, on the same level as the mistake you made, you know what I mean? So they're the people that are saying, aha, I see you. Yeah, you see me because you right here. You know what I mean?
What's looking at me?
You know, they say right. The thing about when you point the finger, somebody, what is how many?
Three or four pointing back to you. And what's that other saying? The devil loves idle hands, right?
Oh my gosh.
Because what do? You just get in trouble, or you say you complain about other people, you gossip about them if you got too much time on your hands.
See, come on. Go ahead, preach.
And so it's always about being the work in progress, or whatever. It's the journey, not the destination. But you do have to keep, you know, like the those guidelines in mind, and that sort of clear end vision on what it is you want to be, or how you see yourself in its most perfect form, and then you constantly work toward trimming that inner bonsai tree, if you will.
Going back to Michael Jordan, we're talking about being coachable.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's important to understand that. And I just look at, you know, when I continue to mature about it, I just looked at the greater good. If we put out a product, a book, a teaching, or whatever, and it really helps people, then it's worth taking the criticism forward. But you're scared of the criticism, you're scared of being under a microscope or whatever, then just don't do it, and just, you know, exist, I guess, you know. But you're going to have some risk with anything you try to do that's a little extraordinary. And I never, after I decided that being a firefighter and just working in the firehouse in itself was not personally enough for me, that I felt like I had a message burning inside and I wanted to share. I also had to, I read somewhere where you can't pick up one end of the stick without picking up the other end. The other end of that stick is the scrutiny and everybody, you know. I get, it's funny, because after we did the FDIC keynote, then, you know, there are people who definitely are very supportive. I haven't gotten anybody who's been really critical or anything. Everybody's been very supportive. But you know, there, and you know, our firefighters can kind of side you a little bit. And then we're like, are you okay? You know, they trying, in the sense, they kind of being funny. But in the sense, they almost looking like, it's like code word for like, I'm watching you.
I'm scrutinizing everything you do.
I'm a screenshot that part where you said this and whatever, you know. So well, if you ain't got nothing better to do, then follow me. Otherwise, if you busy doing you, then you go, because my adage, and I'm gonna say this probably on social media like I do every January 1st, my New Year's resolution is always this: I'm gonna spend the first 6 months minding my own business, and the next 6 months leaving everybody else's business alone.
There you go.
That's my New Year's resolution every year, and it works for me.
I love it.
Let's move on to. So we won't run out of time.
Yeah.
Move on to the fitness. I know you're big on fitness, and a lot of times people are kind of kicked that to the curb a little bit, and it's a nice thing to talk about being industrial athletes, but we're busy theoretically doing all this other stuff or saying other things are important, and we kind of put fitness on the back burner, you know, because we can know our craft, know how to do all this stuff, it's the psychomotor stuff, the master cognitive, we can rest, we can do all this stuff, but if we're not physically fit, then we're not delivering the best service we can to really perform our jobs. So and these days, with life being so convenient, I'm gonna say this, I'm gonna try to not be so long-winded with this, but it's important to me, because people ask these days, like, why are we not as fit as we could be? I know people are living longer these days just because we've done a great job in medicine and things like that. But our fitness. We're fatter than ever. More people got diabetes than ever, and all that kind of stuff. And I say that, you know, people like my grandmother, I remember our lifestyle incorporated fitness. And real quick, like something scrubbing simple as washing clothes. My grandmother would we didn't always have a wash machine.
Yeah. So
she would have a washboard. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if for you millennials, it was a board with a really rough surface on it. And so what happened is you took the washboard and you stuck in the tub with the bleach or the whatever, and then you scrub the clothes on the washboard. You know, and it was a motion that you scrub until it got clean. And then you wrung that out. So wringing was a motion. Then you put that over in the basket. Then you wash the other ones the same way. And then after you finished, then you had to rinse the clothes. You had to wrench the clothes. You know, so you wrenched them out, and then after you wrenched them, and then you took them outside, and then you had to hang them on the clothesline, which was another. You had to pick up the thing and throw it up, and then that was above your head. And then after they dried, then you went out and took the clothes off the clothesline, and then they had to be ironed because they didn't have this fabric like we got today. So you brought them in, you had this heavy iron that you ironed, so that was emotion. Then after you was done with that, then you had to fold the clothes and put them away. This is a whole day motion of exercise that you did. Now today, washing clothes, you throw them down to the laundry room, or if you like Jim's house, you just go to the laundry room on the first floor. But anyway.
It's in the basement.
But you throw the clothes in the wash. You press a couple of buttons. They wash them. You throw them in the dryer. You bring them upstairs. You shake them out. Throw them in the drawer. Or you just put them on. You're good to go. But there's no. So now we have to be more intentional about exercise. Mm-hmm. And if you're not intentional about exercise, then, the lack of it will catch up with you. So as firefighters, we definitely are industrial athletes, and we should be in better shape than the average public. Where did the passion of all this start, and what inspired you and Dan to write the book, and how do you still, incorporate that in your life today?
For sure. Well, thanks for asking about that. So firefighter functional fitness came out.
Say that real fast 10 times.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I've had to say it a lot. Sometimes we just
say F3. This is the 20 Fs. I'm taking notes. Is this-
That's right. We're going to include
let's go. Keep our eye. Jim, keep talking.
I got a couple of choice F's.
Stop. I was about to say, let me read this entire list.
Jim, talk over it. Just keep talking. Quick joke. Keep talking, Jim.
Well, you know, firefighters' favorite four-letter F word. It's free. It's not what you think. It's free.
Free, that's what it is.
So just how you teach them about the ministry part, huh?
Is that that's right. Right. That's right. All right. So here we go. Please, it came out in 2016. So Chief Dan Kerrigan, who's a fire chief in Pennsylvania, we were both posting on social media just simple, quick things that made fitness more practical, more simple for firefighters. You know, like we said before, get rid of the fluff and make sure that it's relevant, it's realistic, and it's applicable to what firefighters can actually use. So where did the passion come from? So within the fire service, year after year, decade after decade, we all know that 50 to 60% of all on duty or line of duty deaths for firefighters are attributed to heart attack and stroke. Mm-hmm. And for every single on duty death that's attributed to a heart attack or stroke, there are 20 to 25 non-fatal but very serious career altering or career ending cardiac events. So multiply that out. That's usually around 1,000 per year that are documented within the fire service, to where someone suffered a heart attack. Maybe they went into cardiac arrest and they were revived. But it's a pretty serious issue within the fire service. And so unfortunately, the statistics of American culture and the fire service mirror each other. So 34% of the United States population is classified as obese. And that goes the same. You would think firefighters would be more fit. That number might be down around 10% of firefighters are obese. No, it's the same exact thing, that 34% of the American Fire Service are classified as obese. And so there's obviously an epidemic there that we need to fix. And that's why Dan and I came together and we came out with Firefighter Functional Fitness. It originally started as an online article that we published through Fire Engineering Online. And I believe we called it the four fundamentals of firefighter functional fitness. So there's some more F's for you. It was one of their most popular online articles that year. And we're like, well, I think we have something here. Nowhere in this process when we were just starting out writing that article or anything else, did we say, hey, we're going to write a book, you know, and it's going to go to 50 different countries worldwide. And it's going to help firefighters all over the world. No, that's never how we thought about it and never how we went about doing it. We just wanted to share what we were passionate about. And we wanted to keep firefighter fitness functional and simplified because we say our mission is that we want to help individual firefighters on their level improve their fitness so that the fire service as a whole can improve their fitness. And we can decrease these line of duty deaths that we're seeing, are these career altering or career ending cardiac events that we see so much within the fire service. So that's where the passion came from. That's where it started out. And like I said, it's amazing to see now 5 years later that it actually is in 50 different countries worldwide and, you know, fire academies and fire college, fire science programs and fire departments are using it for their recruits, for their personnel to improve their fitness. Like we said before, get rid of the fluff. You know, we're fitness minimalists. We like to just keep it simple, tell firefighters what they need to do, the what, why, how. And keep it at that level. And that's why I think it's had so much traction and popularity, and we're blessed because of that.
I'm curious where you think the, because, you know, when I hear some of those statistics, like while going around with Larry training, I just think it's interesting because it seems that academically everybody understands that firefighters are industrial athletes and the demand on firefighters when that emergency hits and how you have to go from, like Larry says, zero to hero.
Zero to hero. Yeah.
I'm just curious where the disconnect is or where you feel like the disconnect is between understanding that and how people let their physical readiness sort of, you know, lapse to the level of epidemic cardiac events.
So that is a great question. And that could be a podcast all in itself, right? That could be a radio show all in itself. But when it comes down to it, and we ask these questions to others as well. And isn't it interesting that we have such high physical standards to get into the fire academy or daily PT, daily physical fitness in the fire academies every day, right? But then we send our firefighters out on the streets for a 30-year career, hopefully, and we don't provide them with physical fitness equipment or training or any type of accountability when they're on shift, right? So that's one of the problems, is that we have high standards when they begin, but however, something happens, right, to where they don't no longer take it upon themselves to continue that throughout their career, or their fire department's administration is not supporting them. I think just like anything else, also is that, you know, we get apathetic, we get lazy, we start accepting the minimum standard of what's going to get me by year after year. And unfortunately, one of the statistics from Dr. Sarah Jenke is that firefighters on average gain 2.2 pounds per year. So if you multiply that out over, you know, a 30-year career, you know, upwards of 70 pounds, right? So hopefully we're not all within those, falling in those statistics. But if we had to preach anything, and we have a chapter in the book called The Three A's, and that's attitude, so mindset, right? So am I?
I see a pattern here.
Keep going. Keep going.
I love alliteration. Keep going. Don't tell? Right. I love alliteration.
And then I'm just the A's.
Keep going, Jim.
Okay, I'm gonna shut up. So interesting.
I'm taking notes. Can you keep going, please?
Good. The three A's are attitude, right? So starting off with the right attitude, the right mindset about your fitness, and what we say is that fitness is a requirement for the job, right? Mm-hmm. It is not an option. It is a requirement. Your mm-hmm. fellow firefighters depend on you. Mm-hmm. Your family depends on you at home. And also your citizens, most importantly, those who are out to serve, mm-hmm. they depend on us. So mm-hmm. fitness is not an option. And that's where we start with the first A. Mm-hmm. The second A is accountability, personal accountability to holding mm-hmm. yourself up to that oath, up to that standard. Because most of us, especially career firefighters, when you take your oath, do you not say, I will do my best to serve the citizens in our community, right? And that comes back to, yes, your skills, your tactics, and your knowledge, but physically, I will do the best I can to keep myself in a good physical condition because it is a physical job, no matter what anyone says, it is a physical job that we need to be able to perform. So accountability, holding yourself up to that standard, up to that oath of when you first started on the job. And then lastly, action. Whether it's leadership, whether it's learning, whether it's something else, when it comes back to fitness, it's all just theory in this book, unless you actually apply it with action. So I don't care if that's a quick 5-minute workout of you just doing some push-ups or some crunches or some air squats in your house. If you can't go to a gym or to the fire station to work out, or if it's a whole hour long workout, more power to you. Whatever you can get in, just do it and take some type of action on a daily basis to improve yourself. So long-winded answer to your question, David, but I hope it sufficed.
Absolutely.
Did you say that 34% was for the country and for firefighters?
Yep, they mirror each other, both for the country and the fire service.
See, that's significant too.
Yes. Yep. And it's unfortunate. Like I said, you would think the fire service, we hold each other, hold ourselves to a higher standard of needing to perform for our citizens, where the fire service only mirrors the culture that we live in, unfortunately.
But I think it's interesting too. Not necessarily to bust anybody out or whatever, but just, the emphasis on readiness in certain areas, like in our workshops, we talk about the balance between efficiency and effectiveness and how a lot of times the leadership is a lot more efficiency focused, where they have certain metrics in place to make sure you have everything you need to be effective. So it's interesting that they try to put that in your head, I guess, like you're seeing in recruit classes and with the Phoenix tests or what have you, to get on the fire department. But there is not that focus on physical efficiency with regard to having some sort of standardized things like the military to say, at this stage and age, you should be able to do this much to be considered physically ready to handle the job or do the job. Like that's completely gone. I think that's interesting that the leadership, for the most part, in a lot of municipalities has abandons that after you get out of recruit class and in the field,
Now, I agree with that. And the majority of fire departments do not have any type of annual physical fitness requirement or testing or minimum standards or anything like that. Some do, and some are pretty aggressive, which is great, because if we all know that if you set the standard, if you set the bar high, people will strive to achieve that, right? And if you set no standard or the lowest standard, people are going to strive to only achieve that. So if you build it, they will come, right? If you set that standard, they will rise to it. One of the complaints or fears within the fire service, especially the volunteer fire service, which is a completely different ballgame when it comes to career versus volunteer and recruitment and retention and all these things, a lot of the volunteer fire service might say, the administration within the volunteer fire service, I should say, they'll say, well, if we have any type of physical fitness requirements, we'll lose our people or we won't get people to become firefighters and volunteer within the fire service. However, it's been amazing. I've heard from some volunteer fire companies and fire departments that said, we actually instituted a physical fitness weekly with along with our drills. We've actually had workouts, and that has actually boosted our participation, our involvement from people within the community, because those workouts, those training sessions are actually building community. And that's one of the things I love about group workouts and group fitness is that it builds community. It builds morale and camaraderie, which are so important. You know, going back to, you know, some volunteer fire departments say, well, we don't want to have this standard mandatory. We don't want to make it mandatory. We don't have it, this annual fitness test, because we'll lose our people. Well, you know, it's like, what do you want to have? Volunteer firefighters or even career firefighters who aren't fit, right? Would you want to have those who are unfit going out into the public and not able to fully do their job for their citizens? Or would you rather have very physically fit firefighters that can definitely do the job filling those spots and getting the right people in those positions? So luckily I am not in the administration and I don't have to make those calls. I think every firefighter, whether it's chief all the way down to the probationary firefighter or recruit firefighter, we all will agree that fitness is important, and it comes down to our personal accountability more than anything.
Personal leadership.
Let's start to wrap. Go ahead.
No, I was saying if your community is not doing it, that doesn't keep you from doing your own. So what we do is we bring this back full circle to personal leadership, and just not just the fire department, but period.
Yeah. Yep.
Start to wrap it up. Respect Jim's time here. I do want to say, too, that the unique thing about your class at FDIC is that you actually do say, okay, let's get down and let's push the chairs back and let's roll up the sleeves and do a few push-ups and things like that.
That makes Let's have fun.
You know, people come out of the gym's class all sweaty and everything. You're like, well, hey, what went on in that room there? You know?
Right. Well, that's a funny story. We were actually on the second floor once, and we were doing some quick, you know, workouts that were short bursts. And we brought a tire, we brought a sledgehammer. Wow. And so we were doing our 4-hour session on the second floor, and we were doing the workout, and all of a sudden some of the monitors come up. They're like, what's going on up here? The class below you is like trying to teach a class. We're like, sorry about that. This is our class. Sorry, put us on the first floor next year.
He's a maniac,
Exactly. That's a unique perspective. And like you said, it makes it do actionable stuff now. You're just not learning theory. You have to go back and figure it out. You can say, I learned this at FDIC. It's a hot class inside of a classroom. So
that's right. We call it a hybrid.
So, and that's how we look at ours too when we do our breakout sessions or our playback. That's our version of a hot session, you know. It was going to be a couple more, but we can do that for another show, because we'd be glad to have you back one day if you want to come back.
I'd be honored.
Too traumatic an experience for you,
PTSD, no?
Right. but I'm glad that we are able to cover the A's and F's with you, and also it's kind of cool. I'm really enjoying this particular podcast, especially, like I said, I was trying to be intentional about the holiday guests, because we both are local guys and we're both doing things on a national level. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but when I used to sit around early on in my career and read fire engineering and watch videos of these different leaders that we talk about. And now to know these, these people on first name basis, and they know you, and be able to, you know, rub shoulders with them is, you know, without sounding cheesy, is almost like a dream come true in a lot of ways. You know, you sit there and like, you know, I got something burn inside of me, I would like to share it. And I wonder how we'll be accepted on the national level or whatever. And not for me, just I just think it I could speak to more people on these platforms. And so to be able to do it is it just makes it the fire service more fulfilling to me than just going and doing going to serve my community in the capacity of a firefighter is really enough. But to be able to add to it by also feeding my family, the firefighter family, so we can all contribute better to serve is it just feels even more, you know, just puts the icing on the cake.
You took the words out of my mouth. It's the icing on the cake. That's right.
I really enjoy it, but I like it. I like even more that, you know, people like you and I can network, you know, sometimes talk to Chief Zeitz. We had lunch a couple of weeks ago. Chief Hoverman, he'll call and say, hey, let's do lunch. And we just, you know, we just all talk and network. One day we probably all should get together and do it, you know, and maybe
let's do it.
Maybe we'll include Jim Sylvan there too. He's above our level, you know. You know, but for us mere mortals trying to scrap it together, you know. But no, I just like this that. We represent St. Louis and Missouri on the national stage because usually, I know we had some people in the past from the St. Louis area, but it looked like you just always heard from people from other places. And we were kind of, but now for us to be players in that arena, in the national arena, making a difference in the quality of lives of firefighters, to me just makes it a complete thing that we serve in our community, we serve in firefighters. And so that feels more complete to me.
Amen. Amen. Grateful and blessed, man. And thank you so much for having me on. It's been a great conversation. And if you ever want to do it again and we can dive deeper into fitness, I would love to do that.
Most definitely. We probably just need, because one of the things we talk about
need to be dedicated to fitness.
Physical recharges. You know, so we
can talk
about that specifically and hit that target. We'll wrap it up with some closing words from David and Miss Elaine. And we'll start with Jim. And then I'll finish it up.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you guys having me on. And you guys have a very Merry Christmas and stay healthy out there.
Miss Elaine.
Oh, it's my turn. Okay. Well, you know, I'm glad when you got points on the board for just remembering that you have met me before.
So, I do what I can.
But I just think what you're doing is just fantastic, especially in terms of putting the responsibility and spreading it around, you know, to the leaders that are designated leaders, but also making it important for the individual to assume some responsibility for being fit and having the right attitude and being accountable and taking action.
No, I appreciate it, right? We're all works in progress. We're all just doing the best we can.
Absolutely. I don't want to take too much time. I'm just going to right quick go over the 100 P's. Seriously, I thoroughly enjoy the conversation. It sounds like a very good book with regard to, actually a couple books, you know, with regard to being able to read it, internalize it, and then, you know, close the book and put some of this to action in your in your life immediately. And that's always a plus to training materials for me. It's like, how can I immediately put this into practice when I'm done learning the lesson or while the lesson is fresh? So that's a thing that that we try to do in our workshops. It's a thing that's near and dear to me because I find those things to be the most impactful in my life. So kudos to you for having the forethought to put that, you know, together in your materials and in your book. And but you just are a great, you know, person with regard to how you're presenting it and how it's coming across. And it makes me actually, you know, want to go out and read the book in all seriousness. So, you know, it's an honor to have you on and talk with you about it.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I forgot to mention, poor promotional on my part when I was talking before, but if anyone wants any of these books, you can go to firefightersuccessbook.com or you can go to firefighterfunctionalfitness.com. Good. I appreciate it, guys.
took the words out of my mouth because I was going to say, how can we order a book?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I ordered a book for my crew, and you know, and so they, I know they've read some of it, and so hopefully it continues to help. Now, I like to not just read stuff myself and just be the leader, so to speak, but if I have everybody, then we're all strong. But just to wrap up, thanks for coming on the show. And like I said, we got to do it again and have a more focus on talk, probably about the fitness part of it, you know, because that's very important, especially with these statistics, man. That's creepy, you know. So
scary.
Yes, it is.
An impact to try to reduce this and make it a goal. Maybe if we all pull in the same direction, then we can do that. But again, thanks for being a friend and you know, and a comrade, and let's make sure we continue to you know, support each other locally, because
that's right.
Help with the national word. And I'm gonna tell you, you know, Jim is definitely a giant already, and more people gonna figure that out as you know, his star continues to rise. I'm sure there are more books in there in the Jim Moss hemisphere, and so we got you recorded. We talked to him first, ladies and gentlemen, right here. Right. Jim was on our program, so you know. So it was all, I don't want no mess, Jim, when I come see you when you get big. You'd be like, I'm security. I don't know who this guy is, but you know, I got the podcast. Jim know who I am, man. You can't run from me, Jim. You can't run, Jim.
When you guys are ready to work on your book, because I know you will be, I want to make sure that I help you guys out, and I can't wait for what it's going to become.
I'm just trying to finish school now, because I'm tired of books, you know. I'm tired of books, I'm tired of writing, so I need a break from that, but definitely one is coming. Anyway, like I said, brother, thanks a lot, and happy holidays to you and your family. Yes. And
you too.
And we're gonna see you on the road, which is cool, and see you on the road to these functions, and keep doing what you're doing. You know, it's not all, it's popular in some, and sometimes it's not so popular in other circles, but keep up the good fight, and we'll do the same. And just want to tell you guys, happy holidays, Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays, everybody.
And happy Hanukkah and everything. Happy Festivus for the rest of us.
For the rest of us, yeah.
The airing of the grievances, that'll be the next show. But anyway, Festivus for the rest of us. You know, that's a
good job, Jim.
Show. But,
good job.
But we'll, see you in 7 weeks. I think our next one is in, it's in January. So anyway, check us out in January, and we'll have another great show for you, and some more great information. And thank you for tuning in, where you can listen, learn, and laugh on the Larry Conley Radio Show. www.gluenationldc.com. See where we are with David now, locking down some dates to get around the country next year. We're excited. I'm working on some contracts as we speak, and so as things begin to open up cautiously a little bit. I know COVID kind of killed us on the tour last year, but things are cautiously beginning to open up. And as they do, we're ready to go and follow up with protocols we can to make sure we keep everybody safe, but deliver our message. And so check us out. If you didn't see the keynote speech from FDIC this year, check that out. We put a lot of great work into that. And and then call us if you want us to come to your department and deliver, you know, I don't know what letters we can deliver, David, but
there's 20 something of them.
I caught three L's, Jim. Listen, laugh, and learn.
Larry. Oh, yeah, I got
so you got three L's anyway. That's the place to start.
Larry.
Yeah, right there.
I love it. Anyway, so you guys take easy, and Jim, we'll talk to you later. Be safe.
Great. This was great.
Take care, guys. Merry Christmas.
And
Merry Christmas. You.